Welcome back to the Weather Delay presented by Duffel Bag Adventures. There's a few things we want to talk about today. We're going to start with the Stanley Cup Finals. This is an interesting year this year. Two teams nobody predicted. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, you know, in their first season ever as an expansion team, and then, of course, against the Washington Capitals. The Capitals have been a team, you know, who've been up and down for years, you know, expectations the last two seasons. But then always fell in the second round and get beat somehow by the Penguins. But this year, somehow or another, they got over the Penguins. Underdogs against the Lightning, got past them in six games. And then somehow found their way into the Stanley Cup Final. Came in, lost game one, which is something they did in every series in the playoffs this year. But this year was different. But good leadership from the top. From a player to know that I've had an eye on since he came to the league, and Alexander Ovechkin, the great eight, put up great numbers this time around and really, really did a number. And I will say that he finally got that monkey off his back. He's one of the probably top 5 to 10 greatest hockey players ever. But without that championship, he was kind of not getting that just due. So I'm glad the Caps finally pulled it off. Got the 44 seasons and that second championship appearance. First time being back in the Stanley Cup Final in 20 years. So, this is a title that, really DC in general hasn't had a winner in, since what the Redskins won, Super Bowl 23. So it's been a while. Just glad, they finally, got a chance to come back, prove their worth and show what they were about. Because, the Caps were a team that was in that middle of the bunch pack, but great play throughout. Goalie change in the second round of the playoffs kind of helped them helped them change the whole season around, postseason around. But when you have a great leader and he shows up, in these moments, doesn't fall under pressure no matter who they're playing against. Because the Golden Knights had a situation that was different from most expansion teams. The rules changed a little bit, so they were able to put together not even just a typical expansion roster that gets beat by everybody, but they were able to put together a roster that was going to cause damage and put them in a position to win. And the Golden Knights almost did do that. They made it further than anybody expected. But again, hats off to the Capitals. They're not the favorites going into next year. Neither were the favorites going into this past season, but they have the confidence now, and I do believe that this is their time. The Capitals are here. Like I said, they probably won't compete next year, but they are in a position where they are ready and looking and primed to make a deep run in next season as well, leading into it. A lot of great talent coming back, of course, led by the captain. It was a great finals. It was a great finals overall, though. Really can't really find many negatives about it. You had the fun excitement in Vegas. How it started off, with the theatrical shows. Start off game one and game two. Then also in game five, DC tried to mimic it in game three and four, but it didn't cross over as well. But all in all, great hockey season. It helped. It helped, I would say, put someone in another pantheon of greatness, where they will, get a chance to stand forever. Because the only thing knocking on Ovi's record was that one thing, and that was a Stanley Cup title, Stanley Cup championship. But he has that now. The Caps have that now. So that's a team, they have it off their back. So now the pressure is. On someone else, but it's off of the Caps now. You can no longer say Ovechkin couldn't show up and win. You can't say again that the Caps couldn't close it out. This is overall a great moment for the team, for the city, the district. And I guess now it's on the Mystics, the last team left in DC United, to, win a title now. And you can't talk a Stanley Cup Final without talking about Ovechkin. He's been a player, first overall pick in 2004, lockout season that year. Didn't get a chance to really come into the league until 05. Was immediately overshadowed by Sidney Crosby, who was the top pick in 05. But It was clearly on a talent level. Ovechkin was the better player, is the better player, still to this point. Player comes in, Rookie of the Year, so that already proved he already proved his mettle at that moment. But still was undervalued, not talked about. Three-time MVP, nine-time All-Star. He's been the scoring leader in the NHL, been the leading goal scorer 7 times. But it took him to finally make it to his first Stanley Cup final. And finally showing up, setting a team record of 15 goals in the playoffs, with Conn Smythe winner as the playoff MVP. He finally checked that last box. Like I said, I view him as, as a top 10 hockey player all the time. At this moment already right now, but a lot of people, were keeping him off certain lists because they felt like, he couldn't win, get to the playoffs, he couldn't get it done. But at this point now, you have to look at him now and really say, well, he did it, he done it, he made it, he showed up, he was a big part of it, the biggest piece of it. So that part is off. That part is, it's off. That monkey's off his back, as Steve Young said in '94. The monkey's off his back. He won the big one, and if you just look around and see him celebrating now, from everywhere, drinking a beer out of the cup. He's out having an amazing time. And at this point now, all he really has to do now is just really he's chase other rings. But he bought that thing that everybody said couldn't happen in DC. He bought that ring in DC. So at this point, honestly, if you ask me, there's nothing left for Ovechkin to prove in this league. But of course, he's motivated. He will get it done. He will do more things. But as a As an onlooker, a fan of the game, fan of athletics, I look at his career, as one of those careers that, could have been viewed like in a basketball sense of like a Karl Malone or a Charles Barkley or a Patrick Ewing, great numbers, great stats, all-time great Hall of Famer, but didn't have that one title on their resume, so we get overlooked, overshadowed by other players who did win the generation. Because, like I said, I've never viewed Crosby as better than him, but because of the situation that Crosby landed in with no Mario Lemieux in the Penguins franchise, he kind of got put in a situation that was a lot better. He got Alex Semien, got a whole bunch of other guys on the team. So he was surrounded by more talent. The Caps kind of, was Ovechkin a bust for years. Finally got some pieces around him, and the uptick, in wins started to happen in 2016 season. His last 3 years, three straight division titles, they have been a major part of that, so it's actually at this point now, like I said, I'm just happy to see Ovechkin finally pull it off, finally get that ring. Hey, you deserve the party, man. Keep living it up. Parade's today, they're having a good time, chance for parade, everybody's in D.C., this has been the first championship in a long time since the Redskins. So like, again, so great moment for the Caps, great moment for Ovi, the great eight, and he's my favorite player to watch. So on the ice, so I'm actually looking forward to seeing him, next year, seeing a repeat with another MVP, chasing another scoring title. He led the league in goal scored this year as well, for the 7th time. So I'm just curious to see what he has next in store, but. This was, to me, validation. This put him it put him in a different conversation when it comes to all-time greats in the hockey side. He can now get put in the conversation with the greats, the Howes, Lemieux, Messier. He won't be, in that group of like top five or top 10, but well, I'll say top five, but I do say overall talent wise, top 10, to put on the skates and hop on the ice. Again, the NBA Finals, man. The Finals wasn't as competitive as anybody thought it was going to be. Well, I think it turned out as we all thought it was going to be. Everybody knew coming in Golden State was going to win. You had people who were believing in Cleveland because of LeBron James, the Jay Williams of the world and things like that. Shannon Sharpe's all say, either Cleveland in 6, Cleveland in 7. But anybody, who logically speaking knew that the Cavs had a 0% chance to win, regardless of LeBron playing or not. Him being on the Cavaliers never really gave me any hope that they would even compete. They did show some. They did show signs in games one and game three, but it was nothing that I really felt that was going to sustain. Game four, the whole team completely laid down. Game two, they competed for a while, but Steph Curry, put on an amazing Steph Curry performance that we've haven't seen in a while. But the sweep itself, like I said, again, wasn't something I wasn't expecting. They could have did it last year. We went and had Kyrie Irving and the other guys and then Richard Jeffersons and Channing Frye. But it didn't happen. But, this year, those guys missing. The newness of the new Cavs who joined in February has worn off. People are seeing those guys and realizing that they don't really mesh with playing with LeBron. And you see that those guys, all their stats diminished because in February everybody was real high on the Cavaliers, saying that they had a good shot to compete. If you turn to any network, any station, everybody was saying the same thing, outside of a few people. I credit the Rob Parkers of the world who was had a similar sentiment as myself, saying that it really didn't matter who the Cavaliers had, they were not going to win the championship. They'll make it because the East is what it is. But they were not going to actually win a title or compete for a title. But of course, you had a lot of people on every network from every major network, radio broadcast. Everybody was saying the same thing. This, these, these trades. Rodney Hood, George Hill. These guys are going to take them over the top. Nance and Clarkson, put them in position. These guys are younger, better. We'll get it done. But again, as you saw, it didn't really matter because the way you played pre-LeBron and when you play with LeBron, as you look historically, only outside of Kyrie Irving, nobody's stats have actually improved over that time frame. That's been like a legitimate, big piece on the team. If you look at it on a historic level, everybody's stats tend to usually dip from Kevin Love to Wade, Bosh, and the list goes on. Everybody's stats tend to drop. They become less effective. They seem less confident in the game. It just seems to happen playing in that system because, he's a very ball dominant player. So if you're a ball dominant player, and not just a stand in the corner shoot first type guy like Kyle Korver or James Jones, then the system really doesn't fit you. And talent is great. It's good to have a great collection of talent, but if they don't play together as a team ball wins usually 9 times out of 10. That's why the Spurs have been so effective all these years. And you saw in this finals, team ball really came into play. Warriors picked up their sixth ring in franchise history, in the first sweep since 2007, also against the Cavaliers and a younger LeBron James. But this is the ninth sweep overall in NBA Finals history. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, you have to take, you have to look at it, and see, what happened, what was the causes, and, and try to decipher exactly what went wrong. Golden State also set another record, and they're the first team to actually sweep in the finals twice. Great accomplishment, but again, nothing that was not expected. I think everybody should have expected it. There were some great moments in these finals. The 51-point performance from LeBron in Game One. People thought that was that was enough to win it. J.R. Smith gets a lot of flack for what he did after the rebound by running backwards with 4.8, 4.7 left on the clock. But realistically, that didn't cost the Cavaliers the game. It just cost them an attempt at the last shot of the game in regulation, but it didn't cost them the game. The team fell flat in overtime. The guys didn't come out motivated. LeBron didn't get them up, I guess. He also was very hesitant in overtime shooting the ball, and it showed in the play. And, they got outscored 17-7. But can't overlook Curry, setting a 3-point record, 9 made threes, and 17 attempted, also another record. Something that, in the finals game, biggest moment, you come through like that in a situation, help the team win. Game three, Curry and Klay's cold. Durant steps up, 43 points, 13 rebounds, either 7 or 8 assists. He came through big time, and without him in game three, Warriors have no shot of winning. On the flip side, the Cavs had three other guys outside with LeBron in double figures. Everybody showed up to play. From Rodney Hood, J.R. Love showed up every game, but it still wasn't enough. And I just feel in those situations, you have to, you know, your star player, your best player has to close it out, has to figure it out. Because 1-3 were winnable games for the Cavaliers. But to me, you know, your star player, your best player, your greatest player did not, he didn't do enough to get them over the hump to win that game. And that just can't happen. But, you know, a lot of things to be said about these finals, a lot of excuses to be made. But at the end of the day, the better team won. The team that played better team basketball, the team who moves the ball better, they won this series. You know, they did what they're supposed to do. They, you know, they played every game, they won every game, didn't leave anything to chance. They came out and took care of home, won on the road, won American Free Tacos. The Warriors did what they're supposed to do, but the Cavaliers, by no stretch, by no means, were the worst team to make it to the finals. As that narrative keeps going around, they were not the worst team. There have been worse teams to make the finals. People look back to the 01 76ers, who were able to pull a game off. Even look back to the 94 Rockets, who only had one All-Star, Hakeem Olajuwon, and a group of role players. No other Hall of Famers. And they found a way to win and won in seven of the Knicks. So your star player had to show up, had to show out and win if he's that guy. And, you know, LeBron's, you know, tremendously talented. Had enough to at least take one game, maybe even two in this finals on his own. It didn't happen. You know, other greats have been swept, so you know it happens. But I just believe that you have to find a way to win it. I'm sorry, no, no excuse can be made about that. You have to find a way to win it. And you have to get it done. Of course, Warriors favorites again next year. Look forward to seeing them playing against somebody else. Who they'll be playing against, no one knows, but I look forward to seeing them playing again, against someone. So stay tuned. You can't talk the finals without talking about LeBron James. Amazing series, statistically, you know, again, led both teams in scoring, you know, had double digit rebounds, almost double digit assists on the average. Great individual numbers, shooting dipped down every game, but on an individual basis, you know, numbers are great. Had players who showed up to play. Love, you know, showed up and showed out for every game, but just went enough to get what he wanted and make it where he wanted to go. But I believe, you know, he did a great job in getting his numbers. But what gets lost a lot of times in these situations are you can have good numbers, but when you look at the team success overall, it doesn't really mesh with what the team is doing. You know, everybody can game one to 51, 8-8, you know, Jared blunder, which again didn't cost him the game. But I look at game three, game that was a close game. You had a lot of support from all your teammates, had a chance to win that game. You know, Durant had an all world, all amazing game. But LeBron gives you 33 points, you know, gives you a triple double, but takes 28 shots to get 33 points. He had a similar stat line or something that Russell Westbrook will have. A lot of shots, a lot of volume shots just to get the points. And to me, that was a game that was winnable, but didn't quite get it done. Of course, you had the broken hand saga or hand gate, whatever you want to call it. After the finals, it broke. You know, story came out from Windhorse that the hand was, you know, severely swollen. And, you know, potentially broken punching the whiteboard. The hand did look damaged, but it was bad optics to come out with that at that moment, at that time. You know, I feel like, you know, it wasn't a factor. You didn't bring it up during the final. So, you know, keep it to yourself. Let the report come out after the fact, but let's not bring it up immediately after the final's over with to create another narrative of he played hurt. You know, players play hurt all the time. You know, no excuses were made, you know, in 2016 with Curry with the knee injury. So it happens. Injuries happen, you know. Kyrie was hurt in 2015, bad knee, injuries happen. Get over it, push forward, move past, and, you know, hey, it's a part of the game. But the narrative it created, you know, it did try to change the narrative from the sweep a little bit. The news took over talking about the hand. But, like I said, overall, great series. Didn't really need that particular, you know, I would say carry-on effect regarding the hand to be included into this final story. but it will be another finals loss on LeBron James' record. Of course, it's a team sport, so it's not all on him, but another finals loss in his record, 3-6 now. You know, that's the numbers are starting to pile up. Are the championships going to continue to come? At this moment, this juncture of his career, I don't see any more championships coming unless he's playing with, you know, two other guys who are upper echelon. And only because I see that happening, you know, it would have to be in a location where it fits his system, because he's a system player himself. He has his own system, and you have to kind of fit into that. So you got to find players who can actually play around him. But he had a great finals overall, stat-wise, but it didn't help the team, you know. And he had teammates who showed up, but the narrative will always be, you know, when they win, he did a great job. When they lose, he didn't have enough help. But that narrative has to stop, because it's not always true. Another finals appearance, another finals MVP. Congrats to Kevin Durant. Another round of applause. Another great series, another great finals. Shows up when it matters most. Nothing more you can really say about Durant. He is what he is at this point. People like to call him a hired gun, a snake, whatever, a cupcake. I like to call him a great player who shows up in big moments, who's in his 14 finals games has basically dominated. This game four was the first game he didn't score 25 points in, and he had a 20-point triple-double. So, again, the guy's amazing. Can get a shot over anybody. Already creeping up the all-time list. He's a guy who's changing the landscape of basketball, because guys of that height don't typically do what he does. He is a transcendental player, and he's transcended. And because his game will translate to any era, because he can shoot. Doesn't really need one particular spot on the floor to feel comfortable. His performance was amazing. Sixth guy all time to win back-to-back finals MVPs. So at this point, you can call him what you want, but you can't call him a loser. You know, and it's time to kill those he joined a 7-3-9 team talks. That's like the most asinine statement that anybody can make. He joined a 7-3-9 team to team up. His situation was different than anybody else who joined teams. Only thing that made it different was the Thunder didn't get anything back in return. There was no sign of trade. He left on his free will. The man's free agent, he can do what he wants to do. You know, for certain players, you know, if you're a fan of them, you try to make excuses for them. But these sentiments weren't brought up, you know, when, you know, at this particular level, you know, when LeBron decided to exodus back to Cleveland to play with also Kyrie Irving. And then, of course, trade talks already in way to get rid of Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins to bring in Kevin Love, put another all-star. These talks are already out there. No one talked too much about that. We're trying to force the situation. No one talks about Miami. When you linked up, you know, with Bosh, with Wade, and a whole bunch of slew of other former all-stars to build a team in Miami, people like to try to nitpick and talk about the previous year's record as if that matters. And say, you know, well, Miami won 47 games, you know, the Warriors won 73 games, but they both had one thing in common. Neither team won a title the year before. I don't care how many regular season games you won. The Mavericks won 60-plus games in the season. Dirk won MVP, and they got bounced in the first round by Baron Davis and Golden State. You know, the Rockets won 65 games this year, you know, and lost in the conference finals. In D'Antoni's early years in Phoenix, they won lots of games, number one seed in the West, and got bounced in the first round, well, second round, or conference finals. So win seeding really doesn't matter. Perfect example, the Raptors this year got swept in the second round by the Cavaliers, you know, had the best record in the East, most record in franchise history. So I don't care what a team does before you get there, because to me, the Warriors are the most genuine team in basketball. They built their core roster through the draft. With Steph Curry in 2009 and Klay in 2011 and Draymond in 2012, bought over free agent Iguodala, who was on the tail end of his career in Philly, somehow found a resurgence in Golden State, bought in Sean Livingston, who had potential when he first came in the league in 04, but really hasn't made it to that point because of that horrific knee injury. So he never really, to me, was able to tap into his full potential. You bring in guys like JaVale McGee, veterans, and David West, who give you a few spot minutes. This team is really built, that quarter's team is built through the draft, and they got some castaway free agents. Durant was the only free agent who's came in who was a marquee name on coming in. So this team was built, to me, the most genuine of any team in the NBA. But of course, you know, people have to find something to dislike. Durant's that person right now. But, you know, it happens. No one made a claim when, you know, the big three with the Celtics were put together. Although, you know, Kevin Garnett had a no-trade clause, so he wanted to go to Boston. And then they pulled a heist off, you know, and got Jeff Green sent to Seattle and bought in Big Baby Davis and Ray Allen. No one complained about that. They put that team together. No one complained when, you know, Jerry West helped Pau Gasol come to the Lakers by trading unknown player from Spain, which was Marc Gasol at the time. No one complained about that when you traded Marc Gasol, who hadn't played in the NBA yet, and Kwame Brown for Pau Gasol to help Kobe win titles. No one complained about that. So, yeah, it's at a point now. It's like, you know, people want to complain about something, but Durant's not concerned. I'm not concerned. Didn't ruin basketball, as, you know, other people would say on radio and TV. It actually is exciting to me because it's hard for a lot of guys to play together with a lot of talent. Miami didn't win overnight. None of these teams, Boston didn't win overnight. Well, they won their first year, but after that, they couldn't sustain success because it is hard to win. And then when that bullseye is on your back, can you pull through and win it? It becomes a big deal. And Kevin Durant showed that he is a big piece of this team. He was the MVP 2 years in a row. And he's re-signing. So this will be interesting to see how other teams and how other players match up and try to defend against whatever the Golden State Warriors are going to put out there, you know. But you can put a team together to stop them. But when you got Durant, can go up 43 in the finals game, when Curry and Klay give you 21 combined, and he more than doubles them together, good luck. With the NBA season over with, we got to take a few time to talk about this upcoming NBA draft. A lot of good talent in this draft this year. A lot of bigs and, like, super extremely long wings. I like the talent I see out of DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, Muhammad Bamba. The guy is probably the longest athlete I've ever seen. Who can do what he does, and Michael Porter Jr. By all accounts, it seems as if Aiden will go number one overall to the Suns, which isn't a surprise. Kids, you know, Bohemian, moves to the Phoenix area, actually played high school ball. Well, would have played high school ball with Bagley before Bagley transferred to Sierra Canyon, but. But overall, like I said, the guy can move around, rebound, block shots. He can do a lot, shoot from the perimeter. The release could be a little faster, but to go along with Phoenix, what Phoenix has right now with Devin Booker, Josh Jackson going into year two, he is probably, well, I'm not saying probably, he is the best player that fits their system, what they currently need, and what they're currently trying to go with. I know other players like Bagley, you know, said it disrespectful that Aiden already declared himself number one overall pick. But at this point, it's his position to lose because I do believe he will go number one. Will he be the best player overall in this draft? I do not believe he will be. But do I believe he is the guy that should go to Phoenix number one? Most definitely, without a doubt. I don't really see anything that would not have him select number one overall on next Thursday. I believe that he is the guy who, I won't say get Cleveland, well, sorry, get Phoenix to the playoffs, but we'll put them in a good position to rise up the Western Conference standings. But I said, when you talk about Bagley, all around great player, can do a lot inside, outside, as well as shoot. Needs to gain a little bit more weight for me to, no, honestly, be more effective. But because I really don't see him dominating on the inside as he did like in high school and even in college. So we'll have to gain a little bit more weight. Well, I was like, not even really gain weight, but just get his NBA legs on him, get his man body, and figure that out, to get the NBA strength. And once that happens, his game should elevate. I see all-star potential in him as well as Aiden, but I don't know if he'll be like that missing piece of game changer or like that franchise leader that he will be looking for. But I do hold great reservations back for Bagley. I believe that he will be a player who will get a chance to show his full game in the NBA, because a lot of guys who come from Duke don't get a chance to really show what they can really do until they get to the league, because it's a system, and the system doesn't really allow for individualism. So the guys don't get a chance to actually showcase their full talents at Duke. They had to play a more watered down team game. So that's why guys like Grayson Allen looks a little better, or the Christian ladies look a little better at the college game. Even going back, like Will Avery's, those guys look a lot better. Trajan Langdon, when they get to the league and you realize they're not that good, not even a good niche player. They just look great in that system. And then guys who don't really get as much freedom, like McGiddy or even Tatum for that matter. Get a chance to showcase who they really are. And you really get a chance to see what they can really do, because they kind of get stifled a little bit. And if guys kind of get a chance to showcase a lot at Duke, like Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow, then you realize you get to the league, they're really not that guy. But another guy I'm impressed with is Mo Bamba. Man, the guy's what, 17 wingspan. Saw a video recently of him shooting threes with a shooting coach who's working with Markelle Fultz, worked with Tatum last year. The coach also worked with Bradley Beal and some other NBA talents. He has Bamba out here pulling 25, 30-foot jumpers, and he's netting them all. I'm like, his releases have gotten quicker. He can drive to the basket. Of course, he can block shots like crazy. Now that he has an outside game, that kid can be scary. He kind of reminds me of a younger Anthony Davis, but with a more polished jump shot already. I can see Muhammad Bamba being a perennial All-Star MVP candidate in the future. Will he live up to it? I don't know, but I can definitely see him becoming a star, and being possibly the best player in this entire draft. Like I said, he won't go number one overall, but I have strong feeling that he can be the best player in this draft. But I feel the same about Porter Jr. We haven't really seen him since he played the senior in high school, but the kid's crazy talented, kind of the Ben Simmons type, but can actually shoot already. I look forward to seeing what he will bring to the NBA, because we only got a chance to see him in really two games in college. I was impressed with what I saw, in his high school days playing under Brandon Roy. But I'm excited to see what he will bring to the college game. I hate his brother didn't stay in the draft. It would have been pretty cool to see, two brothers, they're not twins, go first round in the same draft, but it's fine. But to me, the two best players in this draft I look at are, me personally, a Porter Jr. and Bamba. Like I said, Bagley and Aiden, great guys, but if I have to hedge my bet and put it on one or two players, I'm gonna put it on Bamba, but I'm gonna put it on Porter to probably be your best two players in this class, when it's all said and done. Don't be surprised if Bamba wins Rookie of the Year, no matter where he goes, because the guy has talent, the guy can ball, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing him play. And I don't really say that about many rookies. The summer of LeBron is upon us once again, and the whole world's on pause. What do I feel is going? I don't know. Everybody has predictions. You hear some people saying Cleveland, some people saying LA. reports come out that the kids have been enrolled into Sierra Canyon. If it's true or not, no one knows. But so that if that's the case, then he's moving to one of his Brentwood homes, and he's going to the Lakers. But do I really feel he's coming to the West to compete against Golden State? Well, I play like this. If he comes to the West, he's not coming to the West to compete with Golden State. He's just coming to the West just to live a comfortable lifestyle, and it'll be a team in California, and it will be a team in LA. Because, you know, the mention of Houston has came up, but that situation won't fit. You can't have three guys who like to dominate the ball and like to run the offense. That's not going to work. That will not work. That's not a system that will provide a great stable situation, because James Harden and Chris Paul are not going to stand around the three-point line and just shoot threes, spot up threes all game, which is what you have to do playing the system with LeBron James. It's not going to work. If he goes to Philly, that situation will basically, it'll stall out Ben Simmons and hurt his progression, and he has a lot more years left in his league than LeBron has. So if I'm Philly, I'm not really pulling that trigger. A team I did hear brought up recently was Boston, and people mentioned, well, Kyrie Irving's there. But at the end of the day, Kyrie knows he has 1 year left on his deal that's guaranteed. So I don't think Kyrie wouldn't mind for one more season putting up with him. I know I'm leaving again. Him coming in and playing with Boston, Boston can find a way to ship the contract of Gordon Hayward and probably like a Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart, one of those guys, flip those contracts. Do like a sign and trade deal to Cleveland to get LeBron for that one season as well. Boston try to, you know, squeak out a championship out of it. You know, all signs point to good for me. You know, they can win title 18. Will that happen? It's probably unlikely, but I would never discount or count out Danny Ainge when it comes to making these particular moves, because he has found a way to do this before. So I wouldn't discount Danny Ainge making that move because it can happen. But not really seeing it happening. Miami's been thrown out there. I really extremely doubt that would happen. He did swallow his pride and go back to Cleveland, play for the home team, although Dan Gilbert, you know, said some things about him in that letter. But I don't know if he'll do it again and go full circle again, go back to Miami. I can't remember if the house is sold down there or not, but I know he had a home at one point down there. I know Savannah, I know, cleaned it out when they went to Cleveland. I'm not sure if they sold the house or not. Either way, you know, if he goes to Miami, then it's he's looking to retire, maximize on money, and not to pay taxes on it. But honestly, I believe he will stay east. Location-wise, can't really call it. It'll really depend on the moves and shakers, who moves around, who re-signs the teams, who the teams pick up, who the teams draft next week. Well, we'll all play a key part in it if he feels like they got a draft pick that might work for them. But if I'm Cleveland, I'm not really thinking about LeBron in regards to what they need to do draft-wise or anything, or free agent-wise. I'm just trying to put together the best team I can possible. Would they take a step back without LeBron? Yes, because they have to take a year or two to probably figure out how to play without him, because the offense flows, the offense begins and ends with him. But where will LeBron go? I'm kind of stuck between Boston and Cleveland. Either stays in Cleveland or goes to Boston for that 1 year if he does leave. Because I just don't see him going west. He's avoided for 15 years. Well, really for the last eight, he's avoided it. So I don't see him actually changing those feathers now to go west. Why? Because no situation, even the San Antonio, when they throw it out there with him, Kawhi, and LaMarcus, that's not beating the Warriors. That's not beating the Warriors. So that's a dead situation. It'll get a lot of fans for a lot of hype. I've heard OKC thrown around him. They re-signed Paul George. Keep don't have Carmelo, have Russell Westbrook, still Steven Adams, a solid five. Get Roberson back. You know, re-sign Grant. A solid team. Is that team beating Golden State? No. So I don't know where it's gonna land, but this is his summer again. He hasn't said everybody on pause. Stay tuned. We don't know where he's going, but he's going somewhere. He'll be in a city near you. Be on the lookout. Ticket prices will go up no matter where he plays at. So just look forward to it. But this is our time. We caught y'all up on the rundown on the weather delay. Hope y'all enjoyed y'all visit today. When the weather gets sunny, don't forget about us. Stay tuned. Come back.